This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the latest on children being separated from their parents when they cross into the U.S. Illegally or present for an asylum application. Our guest is Nick Miroff, national security correspondent for The Washington Post. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on what's happening? What are your questions for our guest as he covers these issues? Before we go to our callers, Nick, I want to give a listen to Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. Talked about the policy at a press conference. She's been a point person on this. Here's a conversation between her and a reporter.
The last administration, the Obama administration, the Bush administration, all separated families at the... They absolutely did. They did. Their rate was less than ours. But they absolutely did do this. This is not new.
Minors, there's no doubt about that. But this...
They separated families.
Kids at this rate from their parents is something new and specific to this administration once the Attorney General announced the zero tolerance policy. So why doesn't the president pick up the phone and change the policy? He said he hates it.
I think what the president is trying to do is find a long-term fix. So why don't we have Congress change the laws to change... No, Congress could fix this tomorrow.
So talk about that. We're hearing, I believe it's now 12 Republican U.S. senators writing to the Trump White House saying, hey, fix this now. You will work on immigration, but you need to stop this policy now. What's the back and forth? Nick.
Yes. The president is meeting right now with Republican lawmakers on the Hill. But, as you just mentioned, we're seeing this groundswell of opposition to the policy. It's just something that a growing number of lawmakers simply aren't comfortable with. And calls to fix the problem, well, they may sound good. Anyone who works here in Washington is familiar with how this works, knows that it's not going to be that fast, particularly given that the Trump administration continues to view this as a kind of leverage in negotiations over a broader immigration package.
I want to go to our callers now. We've got Eric in Appleton with us. Eric, hi.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask the guest, why are immigrants coming through a legal port of call or a port of entry versus going through the illegal routes, which this would actually make their asylum request a little bit briefer, and it would, in most cases, avoid the separations that they are suffering currently.
Eric, thanks for the call. So entering through legal ports of entry versus not.
That's right. The caller is correct. The administration is saying that if families come to the ports of entry, those are the legal border crossings, to seek asylum, then they will not be separated. One of the problems with that is that we've documented, and other media organizations have documented, multiple instances of U.S. Customs officers standing on the border bridges to try to pre-screen migrants coming to seek asylum. They are turning them back and telling them that there isn't room. There have been cases of families coming back more than a dozen times trying to get into the ports of entry. Again, this is one of the reasons why people cross illegally over the river, in order to physically establish their presence in the United States and be able to start the process. So while that is what DHS is saying, there are challenges, too, to seeking asylum the right way.
Thanks for that call. Eric, we'll go next to Jim in Dubuque, Iowa. Jim, hi.
Hi. I wish that people would do just a tiny bit of research on the Internet about the conditions these children are kept in. It's much better than the condition of tens of millions of American citizen children living in poverty. They have much better diet and health care and activities to engage in there. You might well wonder about parents who would put their children in a situation where they know that this is going to happen when they commit a crime. I don't know of any other crime, whether it's shoplifting or drunk driving or whatever, where you're allowed to take your kids with you into prison. But it's just terrible that these parents would put their children in such a dangerous situation before even they are arrested.
Jim, thanks for the call. Nick, can you talk about the conditions for the kids? He's saying roughly what the Trump administration has said.
Yeah, I'll just make two points. I mean, your caller said that American citizens wouldn't be able to take their kids with them to jail. I think while your caller has a point, American citizens wouldn't and parents would not go to jail over a misdemeanor charge. And when they would get out of jail, they wouldn't be kept from their kids for weeks or even months at a time. On the second point, the caller brings up conditions in the HHS shelters, which really I don't think are as much of an issue. A lot of migrant kids actually say, you know, aside from the food, that the conditions are pretty good relative to what they've experienced along the journey. HHS has a licensing program to make sure that these shelters do comply with basic standards. And I haven't seen, too much evidence indicate that is really the issue here.
Thanks for that call, Jim. We're talking to Nick Miroff from The Washington Post about the latest at the U.S. border and family separation. Back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
I have a question for your guest. Most immediate public opinion polls show that the vast majority of Americans, 67%, disapprove of this zero-tolerance policy, but that 58% of Republicans do. Does this show a fundamental issue of values between the two parties? And most importantly, isn't this really an issue of race that Trump generated when he ran in this anti-immigrant policies at the time of his election? I'll be interested in every guest's response.
Jim, thanks for the call. Nick, your thoughts on the partisan divide on this issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think your caller speaks to the credibility deficit here from an administration that has used very overheated rhetoric to describe both Latin American immigrants and illegal immigrants, depicting them with a broad brush as gang members and rapists and so forth, and that just doesn't match the images that Americans are seeing on their televisions of a lot of humble and destitute families showing up at the border. And as far as what was the first part of your caller's question?
The percentages disapproval rate and about 2/3 of Americans disapprove, but a majority of Republicans approve of the policy and how that's driving the politics of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think as we're seeing in this country and all over the world, there's a lot of anxiety about immigration and about rapid demographic and cultural change. But so far, what this is suggesting is that these types of measures just go too far for too many people.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Terry in Appleton. Terry, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say I'm absolutely appalled by this, and I can't believe that people would think that these kids are being treated fairly when we hear them crying as they're being separated from their parents. And I'm wondering if there are any rules or laws out there that protect these children and protect minors from something like this happening, where we're putting them behind cages in our own country.
Terry, thanks for the call. Nick, any laws about the welfare of these children while in custody or being detained?
Sure. There are tons of laws that govern these centers, how they operate, what they're approved to do. I think, I have not, again, seen many credible reports, at least recently, as part of this recent crisis, of stories of abuse. I mean, when you're hearing that those wailing children, those are children who have been recently separated from their families by the United States Border Patrol. This is not something they're experiencing in a HHS foster care shelter. So while the kids are being kept in those detention cage-like cells, that's really only for a brief amount of time, maybe 48 hours before they're going into HHS custody.
Thanks for that call, Terry. Nick, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That's Nick Miroff, National Security Correspondent for The Washington Post. He joined us to give us the latest in the political fight at the border over the Trump administration's use of a policy that separates children from their parents when they cross the border illegally or arrive seeking asylum in some cases.